Welcome to day three of God's Feast of Tabernacles in Panama City Beach. What a glorious setting we have here at the beach. It's just absolutely been phenomenal. We're out by the beach to see the glory of God's greatness, to see the sunset. I came in on, we were in here on Saturday, and Saturday evening the sunset was absolutely spectacular with the deep purples, the reds, the orange hues were just absolutely beautiful to see what God has created. I was walking on the ocean that day, the next morning, and I was marveling at how you have this mass body of water that just clings to a sphere. It's amazing how God has created this greatness. Certainly want to thank the chorale for the wonderful music that they have presented to us. It always amazes me how a group that comes from all over the country can get together, all the different parts, and they work together so harmoniously. I think about it and relate it to in the sports team because I can't sing. I appreciate music, but in the sport, to be able to pull a team like that together and to be able to be organized and as they do, it's amazing. And probably as we were having breakfast this morning, enjoying our cup of coffee, they were probably here practicing serving us, and we certainly appreciate that. Now, the last couple of years, we were, as a family, we spent some time in, we were in Utah, and then last year in New Braunfels, much smaller areas, but what a fantastic time to be here with nearly 900 people, a large family. I'm very fortunate to have my family, extended family. I've counted it up this morning, and there's a total of, if you count all my extended family, my daughter-in-law's family that's here with us, we're actually staying together. There's 22 of us staying together. But if I add in the Schallenbergers, which my daughter married into that family, there's 32 here. So I think quick math is almost 3.5% of the people here, I guess, are part of the family. So, but anyways, we're all one big family, and we're just having an amazing time. Hopefully you're doing the same. Well, Remy Warren is a big game hunter and professional guide. He had just returned home from a filming expedition in Alaska. The phone rings, and it's the sister of a very dear friend of his. And he hears Danielle's missing. She's been missing for 2 days. Search teams have been unable to find her. Now, Danielle was visiting her father in the central Nevada high desert, midsummer. One afternoon, she was not feeling well, so she decided to go out for a run and see if she could sweat it out. But by the time Danielle's sister had called Remy, they had the Black Hawk helicopters out, the dog search teams were out, and rescue teams had not been able to locate Danielle. For now, 2 full days, moving in to day 3. Remy arrived at the search base camp about 5 p.m. Like I said, it was going on day 3. Remy met with the search and rescue team. They shared the information they had. The dogs had gone up and down the canyon. They had the helicopters up. Some people had shared information that they believed they spotted her running attire with no other gear. No other survival gear. It was also reported by some bystanders that a car with Mexico plates was spotted leaving the area. The search and rescue teams were operating under the assumption that she may no longer have been here. Maybe she was not in the area. The Black Hawk helicopter was low on fuel. They had been out for 2 days, working on all the day long. They said they would resume in the morning. They ask Remy, how far could she have gone? Remy goes, she's a marathon runner. She could be 20 miles from here. We really don't know what happened. She could have fallen into a crevice. She could have a broken leg. We just don't know what may have happened or what condition she may be in. They really had nothing else for Remy to go on. But his thought was, whatever you guys did, it didn't work so far. So we need to try something different. Remy loaded his pack as if he were going on a backcountry hunt. He said, I'm going out there and I'm not coming back until I find something. It was now starting to get dark, but Remy wanted to get on the trail and be ready to go at first light, because he knew that the sun, once it got high today, she probably, if she was still mobile, would be looking for shade. But the high desert nights, cold. She'd probably be moving. Better possibility of finding her. Remember, it was high desert, 10,000 feet elevation. Daytime highs probably in the 90s, nighttime lows, mid-30s. So he was hoping to be able to find her when she was moving, because he knew that once she was in shade, it would be harder to find her. The search team has a Razor UTV, so he asked them to drive me up the canyon as far as you can go. It was now dark, and he started up the rugged, rock-strewn mountainside canyon. He hiked up the canyon for several hours. Pitch black, dark. But he was used to backcountry hunting, hiking. At one point, he looked up in front of him. And he said, can you barely see this off trail? That may be where she would go. Because they had hiked together. Danielle was a friend that they had spent a lot of time together, but with his career, they had kind of grown apart. But he knew her. They had hiked all over the country, all over the world. They never took trails, so he knew he wasn't going to find her on a trail. So it was close to midnight. Remy beginning to become concerned. What if I find her dead? What if I never find her? But hiking in the dark, he goes, I had no idea where she might be. So he said, I pray for guidance. And he says, as I'm praying, I look down, and I see this strange scuff mark. He said he moved in a direction, and as that was indicated by the marking, and he finds himself on a flat bench area. Got this weird feeling. He said, I sat down, turned off my light, and yelled out, hey, Danielle, this is Remy. If you can hear me, I'm not leaving until I find you. He sits there, and he hears a very faint, Remy. But it was so faint that he wasn't sure if he actually heard something or if it was just his imagination. So Remy yelled out again, and he heard nothing. But he called back to the base camp with his radio, said, look, I'm turning the radio off. He says, I don't want it to make any noise. I need it to be dead quiet. He said, I think I heard her, but I'm not sure. So Remy yells again as he moves in the direction where he heard that, or he thought he heard that voice. And he says, Danielle, can you hear me? And this time again, he hears a faint voice once again. He flips on his light and is startled. He sees no more than 300 yards in front of her. He sees Danielle. He runs to her but finds her in a very confused state of mind. He asks her quietly, do you know who I am? Yes. Do you know your name? No, I don't know. And her voice simply trails off. Remy attempts to give her water, but the second it touches her lips, she spits it out. It's like it was fire. Her lips were so parched, so cracked. She was so dehydrated and in such a confused state of mind, she couldn't accept the water. He radioed to his friend at the base camp, and he took the razor down to the town and got the paramedics onto the trail on the way. Remy recognized he was very fortunate he was able to find Danielle so quickly, and he did so because the clock was ticking and the time was running out. There was likely one thing that played a huge role in finding her so quickly, where she didn't know where she was. She stood still. She didn't move. She stayed put. You know, Remy spent a lifetime looking for things that were hard to find and then was able to use this set of skills to be a very beneficial, the most beneficial thing he had done in his life. When I heard this podcast, I was going for a walk on the Greenway, and I heard the story. I could only think of the rescue that God and his son, Jesus Christ, has done for us. So if you want a title, I'm going to call it Our Dramatic Rescue. And I'd like to spend the remainder of my time this morning exploring the analogy of this heroic rescue with the rescue that God has performed for each one of us. You know, it's so easy for us to listen to a story like this as it's recounted. I had tears in my eyes. I had that deep emotion. But do we really appreciate what God has done for us? Do we recognize the rescue that God has done for each one of us? So I have 6 points. My daughter always tells me, I like points, Dad, because I know when you're getting to the end. So 6. It's a split, so I couldn't have 7. So the first point was that when Remy wasted no time when he received the call from Danielle's sister, he immediately responded to the call and jumped into action. You know, God does that for us. If you would turn with me to John chapter 6 and verse 44, John 6:44. We hear it says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Once we repent and are baptized, we're chosen for salvation. God calls us, though. We respond to that calling, but God calls us. He reaches out to us, just as Remy reached out to Danielle. If you would, turn with me to 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. That we're chosen for salvation. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, it said, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for a salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth." We have been called to an understanding of the truth, and then we have been called and chosen for salvation. We have been rescued from a world that has been influenced by Satan the devil. My second point is that Remy spent much of his life tracking animals, leading hunting expeditions. He had spent many years working in the wilderness and had developed a tremendous cardio capacity. So he could hike, he could go, he could go on rugged mountain, rock-strewn mountain paths that enabled him to endure the elements, to go on long hikes, and to go in this dramatic rescue mission. You know, Christ has done that same thing for us in that he has experienced what each one of us are experiencing today. If you would turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, we'll look at verses 5 through 8. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. And it says, this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. In other words, he gave up his Godship. He gave up who he was, a divine nature, to take on that human nature. And being, so he but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So Christ divested himself as his divine nature to take on the human nature, the physical nature, to experience life. So as Remy knew Danielle, knew where she may have gone Christ knows each one of us. He knows us. He knows exactly how difficult life is. He lived a life that was free of sin, but he was in all ways tempted by Satan, just as we are. You know, Remy knew where to look for Danielle. He's a professional guide, experienced in tracking big game. He had been trained eye for the smallest hoof print, the smallest scuff mark. But as I mentioned, he knew the mind of Danielle just as Christ knows our mind, because they had spent many hours together. Christ wants us to spend hours together with him so that he can rescue us. But Christ knows where to find us. He understands the temptations and is able to sympathize with us in all of our weaknesses. If you would, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. We'll look at verses 14 and 16. In Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 14, it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." So we have someone that knows our experience. We have someone that knows what we're going through. He said, "Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We can go boldly. You know, we have this Jesus Christ who was the Son of God, who gave up his Godship, who came to earth, lived a sin-free life, died, was resurrected, and took that atoning blood that he gave during his sacrifice to the throne of God, an atoning blood that covers our sins. He knows where to find us. He provides that atoning. He's that intercessory that can go to God and explain why we fail sometimes, why we're weak sometimes. But we have a high priest. Just like we looked at, most of us probably in Day of Atonement, the high priest would go in to the Holy of Holies, to the mercy seat, which was the throne, represented the throne of God. Our elder son, Jesus Christ, did that for us. You know, when Remy first offered Danielle that water, she spit it out. That water felt like fire on her lips. You know, sometimes we find ourselves pushing God away. But he will not be deterred. Once he has called us, once we have accepted his way, once we have repented, he knows that just because of our weakness, he will never be deterred. He will keep coming back for us. But Paul talks of the carnal nature of man and the pull of flesh that pushes that away. And I think it's worthwhile to look at that, to recognize that. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16, it says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." If we walk and we use God's Holy Spirit, it will guide us away from that pull of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. But we're blessed. We sometimes have that flesh that goes contrary to the ways of God. You know, just as Danielle did not want the very life-giving water she needed, first response was to push it away. But we have a loving God. You would turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. We'll look at verses 9 and 10. 1 John chapter 4. Starting in verse 9, it says, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." In other words, we can live through his intercession for us. In verse 10, and this is love, that not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins, to atone for our sins. He loved us just as Remy loved Danielle. They had grown apart. They hadn't seen each other, but they had spent a lot of time together. They were very close. God loves each and every one of us. In Romans chapter 8, verse 27, we were just in this area not too long ago in the previous message, but I'd like to pick it up in verse 27. And it says, now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints, for us, according to the will of God. That's God's will, that Christ came down to this earth, lived a sin-free life, sacrificed, was resurrected, and now intercedes on our behalf. That was the will of God. And drop down to verse 34. It says, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So again, we see that the high priest intercedes on our behalf when we fall short. We all know that we do that. We don't desire that, but we are. But God has rescued us from certain death, because we know the wages of sin are death, and we've all sinned and fallen short. If we look at one more scripture under this fourth point, is that God knows where to find us. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. And it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. God knocks. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. God wants us to come to him. God won't give up on us. God knows where to find us. You know, with the medical attention that Danielle recovered from her physical dehydration and exposure in a matter of a few days, got her body rehydrated, her mind came back quickly, but it took much longer for her to overcome the mental scars that were caused by this ordeal, by this experience. It took nearly 6 months for her to overcome and recover from the PTSD effects of being out there and thinking that she would die out there. You know, oftentimes, you know, once we repent and decide to take a new course of action in our lives, we're baptized, begin to obey God. We begin to follow God's way and obey his word. You know, and oftentimes we can see changes in our lives very shortly after turning away from sin and obeying God. However, as many knows, it takes much longer to heal from the mental scars that result from many years of sinning. In addition, many of us suffer from the consequences of our past sins for many years after our repentance, baptism, and turning to God's way of life. But the power of the Holy Spirit can heal the mental scars and can ease the consequences that many suffer from those past sins. Let's look at a few scriptures that shows that. If you would turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Such a powerful scripture, one of my favorites, very short. And it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, power is wonderful, and love is something that we certainly need. But of all those three, sound mind is something that is just a phenomenal blessing that God promises us through his Holy Spirit. Because if you look at the world today, there is not a whole lot of sound mind. People are not thinking clearly. Satan has influenced this people and this nation and this world more than anybody can imagine. In fact, as I was preparing a message for the Day of Atonement, I was kind of thinking about this and how much Satan has influenced us, and we cannot discount that. But God has promised us a spirit. We have power, love, and a sound mind. You know, there is no fear in love. In 1 John 4, verses 17 and 18, if you would turn there, 1 John 4, verses 17 and 18. It says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. God wants us to be bold. Yes, I know he's chosen the weak of the world, but he wants us to be bold. Bold in him, bold in his spirit, knowing that his spirit works in us. It says, verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. God doesn't want us to have a spirit of fear. God wants us to be bold, to claim that rescue that he has promised us because we have promised to obey him. We have committed to change our lives. In verse 19, it said, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Remy demonstrated his love for Danielle by going out in that rugged area, late at night, cold, but he wasn't going to give up. And God will not give up on any one of us. God promises that he will heal us from the mental scars that we bear. Well, I promised you there are 6 points. That's a sixth point. And this was a really just emotional time. Remy explained that because of that harrowing rescue, the time they spent together, the bond was formed, and they were married shortly after that rescue. And I think the analogy is very similar. Just as Remy and Danielle formed a unique bond with one another after going through that terrifying experience, they wanted to spend the rest of their life together. And as we have seen this morning, God wants to establish a bond with each one of us. And as he has promised each one of us, he is going to give us an invitation to the wedding supper of the Lamb. He wants to marry the church. He wants to marry each one of us individually. He wants that close bond. He wants us to be part of his family. But there is something that's required of us if we're to receive this invitation. If you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll look at verses 25 through 27. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27, it says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church. And here's what we need to become: a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. God wants to cleanse us with the washing of water by the word of God. He wants to present us without spot or wrinkle, to be holy and without blemish. And if we allow God to work this work in us, we have the promise of the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. If you would turn with me to Revelation chapter 19, look at verses 7 and 8. Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 and 8. It said, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife, the church, has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Brethren, we're here at the feast to represent the time that we will be married to Christ, that we will then be going with him to bring a rescue, just a dramatic rescue as the one that has been performed for each one of us, to the entire world, to all mankind. The podcast host made the comment that Remy must have had the upper hand in an argument, because you can always say, remember that time I saved your life? Remy chuckled. He said, yeah, it's a pretty strong argument when I really want things to go my way. And you know, I thought, if there was ever a time that we come to a decision, a time that we decide between our way or God's way, we should always remember that God saved our life with the sacrifice of his son. And maybe we too should defer to God's way in these situations. You know, as I said, there was an emotion that we feel about when we hear a near-death experience like this. And I remember the time I was listening to it. I was walking on the greenway, as I mentioned, tears swelling in my eyes. As he explained the dire circumstances, it seemed real to me and it impacted me. But my question for you today is, do we have the same level of emotion about what God has done for you and me? That God has given, sacrificed his son to die for us, to rescue us from the world that is influenced by Satan the devil. God's desire is that we prepare ourselves to be the bride of Christ at his return to this earth. What a tremendous blessing we have been given. Let us never take for granted nor diminish the blessing that we have that has been granted to us. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb.